some of you might remember, I've covered this sort of subject before, and I let it go. Things got in the way. I mean, life happens, and you're busy yourself, and yes, things got in the way. And a few weeks back, a few months back, when I looked at the rota, I said, I think I'm going to do the stars again. And I don't mean the ones in Hollywood, I mean the ones in heaven, or in the heavens, I'm sorry. And the subject is so vast that I'm going to try and do bite-size, but with a taster this morning, about where I'm going to cover in months ahead. So it starts with a story. And how do we begin a story? In the beginning, in Genesis 1:16, I don't know if you want to follow me with some, I read it, but if you want to pop the map, might be good, because I'm going to try and get scripture, PowerPoint and scripture.
I don't know if it'll work that well with that.
No, no, we can run through the PowerPoint in entirety, and scripture at the end, because I know you can't interrupt it once it's started. So Genesis 1, verse 16, and I think I might have the old King James, I'm sorry. It says, God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And almost like a throwaway at the end of the sentence, it says, he made the stars also. So, although it may not be the beginning of the story, it is part of a story that I'd like to share with you because it inspired me to look a little bit further. Going backwards from that verse in Genesis 1 and starting at verse 6 to 9. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. Now, I looked at this yesterday, and the word there used is Shemaim.
Shemaim.
And it is a plural word. So although for the sake of reading in the English, we have the word called the firmament heaven, it is actually heavens. Why I'm just sort of picking on this is that in the New Testament we know that Paul and John both said the heavens. Paul went to the third heaven, and John also mentions the heavens. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Then I'm jumping to Genesis 2, verse 1. In Genesis 1, we have the story of God creating the earth and all that he has created, not just this little world we're standing on. And it says in verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Now, I don't know about you, but I think when people create something, especially writers, film producers, they call it what they want to. They've got the right, they've made it. And we've sang in the song just now in the chorus, and I do thank you for that, Peter, because that was a bit of encouragement. God made the stars and he called them by name. Now, David echoed that in Psalm 147, verse 4. And I'm sorry I've got the old King James going with me at the moment, but it was the Esau study that I used. And David said, he telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. I can't tell you how he got humans to give the stars their names, but I know God is very able. And again, mentioned in Isaiah 40, verse 26. It says, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. And what I'd like to do next is just give you a taster of a little bit of what I've looked at. And I am going to sit to get out of the way of the screen, but I've done a PowerPoint, and I will try and go through this with you and see if I can just share something that might actually just give you something to think about when we leave today. Now, Psalm 19 verse 1 tells me again, David, a man after God's own heart, puts the word, says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Now, the firmament, I take it as being the actual earth we're standing on, but the heavens are what we can see, or can we? Right, if you go on to the second slide for me. I'm not going to suggest we start looking at horoscopes. In fact, I'm going to warn against that at the end. But actual studies, whether it's astrology, astronomy, put the constellations, mostly starting at Virgo, and this is where the story begins. We have Virgo, a maid, maiden, virgin, with child. And Isaiah 7:14 tells us that the Lord himself is going to give a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. That's echoed again in Matthew 1:23. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Can we go on to the next slide? So I'm not going to take a lot of time, each one, to get through. The next constellation covered is Libra, the scales. Now, in Daniel, Belshazzar was weighed in the balance and found wanting, as we are. And the one that gave his life to redeem us back, to make us to be found not wanting, was Christ. In Libra we find Christ the Redeemer. The name of Libra in Hebrew is called Motzanaim. The scales weighing. What's the name?
Yeah, it's two weights.
Two weights, okay. Can we go on to the next one? Thank you. In the next one, we have Scorpio. I'm glad there's none in this country because you know that the scorpion has got a deadly sting in its tail. And this is a picture of Christ, the wounded one. The name the Arabic name of this constellation is called Al-Aqrab. Aqrab? Aqrab. Wounding him who cometh. Talks of a conflict or war, and we know that the war that Jesus had in the heavenlies with Satan, his opposer, Satan's sting on us after the fall was death, and a scorpion's sting sometimes can lead to death. So we have a picture in Scorpio of Christ the wounded one, again wounded for us. Can you go on to the next one? And here, Sagittarius shows Christ the Conqueror. The sign in Hebrews is called Kizit, means the bending of a bow for shooting. I think Sagittarius has been called the archer. But John, 1 John 3:8 declares, "For this purpose Christ was revealed, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So in this we have a picture of Christ the Conqueror, the archer, fighting the fight for us. Can we go on to the next one? Capricorn. We have a picture here of Christ the sacrifice. The picture of the constellation is half goat and half fish. And in the Old Testament, we understand that the goat was an escape goat when the priest laid his hands on the goat's head and sin was transferred to the goat. And our sin was transferred to Jesus, who paid the price for us. The price then becomes that we as believers become the church, sometimes symbolised by a fish. And in this, it shows that the sacrifice was accepted, offered, sacrifice and accomplished sacrifice, the scapegoat and the fish. All right, I've got a scripture here, Hebrews 9, verse 12. "He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption." So we have Christ, the sacrifice, pictured here. Can we go to the next one? In Aquarius, Christ himself said he was the living water. You know, when he met that lady of Samaria at the well, he said he was the living water. Can we go to the next one? Pisces. Now, a lot of other pictures of Pisces actually show two fishes seeming to swim in opposite directions. In the constellation itself, it's usually explained as a diagram showing a fish swimming at right angles to the other, but what's not always shown is that they have a cord attached to each of them, to the tail. That cord is a binding, and that is something that Satan has bound the people on this earth, but Christ has come to set free the captive. The Coptic name for Pisces is Picotorion. Now, I'll apologise for my translation if my pronunciation is not quite right. But it also means, as well as being a fish, the congregation or company of him who cometh. And it's also, although mentioned in the previous constellation of Capricorn, that the Greek word for fish is ichthys, which is the symbol that was used by believers as a secret symbol when they were meeting, but also it's the symbol that's used today as an acrostic for Jesus. The other mention of fish that Jesus himself said in Mark 1 verse 17, he said, "I tell you, you will be fishers of men." So we've got a picture of Christ the Liberator in Pisces. There's a lot more, but I haven't got time, it's limited today to what I could share with you. Can we go on to the next one? That's my place. Now, Aries, I'm not sure how they pronounce it, but the ancient name was Talech, the lamb sent forth.
Tali.
The lamb sent forth. The lamb who was our sacrifice, and in the book I'm using as well to do all this. It says no to the horns. That means it's a male. And Jesus, male, being our sacrifice. Can we go to the next one? Some of it's not always so nice. If you can just make out up here, we've got the horns and the bull rearing. I can't go into the other one with it. This is the only picture I could get down. But Taurus, the judge. And the Hebrew word, creams. It's the same word that is translated in Job as unicorn. But it implies strength. Also, the Hebrew name for the constellation is Shur, S-H-U-R, Shur. The bull coming and ruling. So there is a picture of Christ judging, and we know that at the Bema Seat we will be judged for our deeds. That's also a part of the whole of the picture of Christ that's being told. And can we go to the next one? I know these are not so clear, I couldn't get very good pictures down off the net, but the next one is Gemini, which astrology calls it the twins. But the picture, the story that's told, is of Christ and the church. The Hebrew name for this constellation is Thaumin, the United. Brian can tell me after if I pronounce them properly. But it's a picture of Christ with his bride. In 1 John 3, 2, the Bible tells us, we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. And it's the likeness, for we shall see him as he is. There are other aspects to everything I'm showing you today, but it's not enough time to go into depth into all of them. I shall take some bit by bit at another point. Can you go to the next one? Which the world uses is Cancer, the crab. It's up in the middle. But you might think, oh, that's a nasty one, because if you've ever been bitten by a crab on the beach, you know how nasty that bite can be. But it's a picture of Christ the Protector. The ancient Hebrew name for the constellation is Sartan, S-A-R-T-A-N. I'm not talking about the enemy. It's the one who holds or binds. And we know that Jesus holds us, he intercedes for us, he keeps us, he protects us. It's a picture of Christ, the Protector. And the next one, which is the last one of the constellations, is our victor. Leo, the lion, is mentioned in Revelations 5:5, that the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. Ancient Hebrews call this constellation Aryeh, the lion who rends or tears. It's a quality of a wild lion, but notice again, it's a male, thus picturing Christ as the victor. Now, it may seem a bit far-fetched, and I'll come to the other pictures in a little bit. But even God himself told Job, you know, can you do what I have done and put these stars in the sky? There's a scripture in Romans. I'll have to double check on this one. It's Romans 1 verse 20. And I shall read it. I'm sorry. It's not so good in the New King James. It might be better in the NIV. But it says, For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And some people might say they've never had a Bible. Well, I understand from something that was shared that even if you could understand the story in the stars, that you would understand the story of Christ who comes. It tells the whole story. There are other smaller little constellations surrounding the 12 main big ones, and I can cover those another time. But we can't see these. I know astronomers use big telescopes, but if you remember, God told Abraham to look up and number the stars if he could, because the number of the stars, so would his seed be. And I remember John saying some time back when he first went to New Zealand, he said there's no light pollution there, you can see the stars. Now, Richard, the next slide is just really accreditation. A gentleman named Terry Cohen, I don't know if he's Jewish, he's a digital photographer. And he has taken photos of cities, not of Wales, but of other cities. And then he's taken photographs of the comparable night sky that they would see if there was no light pollution. So, Richard, if you can go to the first one. If there was no light pollution and you were in Los Angeles, that's what you would see in the night sky. And when I saw that, I was amazed. Can you go to the next one, Richard? I'll just pop through these quickly. That's the night sky above New York. And the next one. That's the night sky above Hong Kong. I think if I looked out the window and saw that, I'd have to get a bit interested and amazed with all that shining down on me. And the next one is the sky above Rio de Janeiro. I don't know what all those stars are, by the way. It was just the effect of seeing the pictures and thinking, if all the lights were turned out on the world, we would see the heavens declaring God's handiwork. And can you go to the the next one. That's the sky above San Francisco. And the next one, Richard, please. Here we've got the night sky above Paris. And then the last one is the sky above Tokyo. Not so dramatic, but it's just there. And to me, because of the light pollution, we're missing out on seeing something that God, our Heavenly Father, has made. I'm not saying we should worship the stars, as the Bible warns against anyway, but, you know, we look at nature and we see flowers that are a lovely colour, and how they're pretty, you know. And we look at animals and nature, and yes, nature can be nice and nature can be cruel, but the animals have something that they perform that without them breaks the natural cycle. And God said that he put them in the sky, in the heavens, and called them by name. Now, he doesn't do something for nothing. And I want to look, this is my little project, I want to look a little bit closer at these and try and bring you the story, the real story that the stars in heaven tell us, that God meant us to see. And I hope I've just sort of given you something to think about, how wonderful a creator God he is. And I want to take back something that the devil has stolen and twisted, because he probably knew the truth of this as well. So thank you.